Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about God empowering us to be able to stand in His presence, blameless with great joy. So let's read Jude verses 24 and 25 again together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Now, these last two verses of Jude deal with one of the most important and misunderstood subjects that's in the entire Bible, and that subject is just how God can make us stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. In other words, Jude is telling us here that not only is God able to keep us from stumbling, but God is also able to make us blameless on that day. But just how does God do that if we continue to sin after we're saved? Do the sins that we commit after we are saved affect our salvation to the point where a genuinely saved person can lose his salvation? Some sincere believers say yes, while others who are equally saved and equally sincere say no. So who's right? And on the last broadcast, we looked at the three views of salvation that is taught in the modern world, and we saw that only the third view that teaches that salvation is a sovereign work of God is taught in the Bible. And we saw that because we are saved because of what God has done for us rather than what we did, that salvation is then eternal and not temporary. And because salvation is eternal and not temporary, then Jude makes the statement that he made in verses 24 and 25, and God is able to keep us from stumbling and to make us stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. You see, dear friends, saved people will enter into eternity with great joy because all doubt, all fear, all concern, and all worry about where they stand with God has already been settled. Perfect love, John says in 1 John 4:18, the sovereign love that sent Jesus to die on the cross has cast out all fear for those who place all their hope and their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So genuine believers do not get to heaven by the skin of their teeth, as some people say. You may have heard that phrase used before. No, believers go to heaven with full confidence that they are safe and they are secure in Jesus because their salvation is not based on what they have done by and through their own human willpower, but their salvation is safe because it is based upon what God has done for us. Now, some would ask, but Brother Blair, what about the sins that we commit after we're saved? Don't those sins destroy salvation? Well, if you're a Roman Catholic and believe what Roman Catholicism teaches, then yes, sins do destroy salvation, but not all sins. You see, dear friends, in Roman theology, salvation is not an event that happened at some point in the past. To those who trust in the Roman Church for salvation, being saved is a process that began at infant baptism and carries forward all throughout your life, even into several hundred thousand years into purgatory. So to those who have faith in the Roman Church for salvation, they are not saved, but they are being saved. And the huge difference between what the Roman Church teaches and what the Bible teaches is about the issue of righteousness. Both the Bible and the Roman Church teach that in order for anyone to go to heaven, they must be forgiven and they must be made righteous. Nobody enters into heaven unless and until they are just as righteous as God is. That is exactly what the Bible teaches. That is why so many hundreds of millions of people all over the world are working so very hard trying to earn righteousness by what they do for themselves. And the only real difference in one false religion and the other is in exactly what people have to do to earn that righteousness. Because all false religions teach the very same thing about this particular issue. We have to do something to be good enough to go to heaven. So some teach that we have to be baptized. Others teach we have to keep the sacraments of the church. Still others teach that you have to speak in tongues or wear certain clothes, while Islam teaches that you have to blow yourself up. All false religions teach the very same thing about righteousness. We are made righteous by what we do. And the only difference between them is the details of what we have to do. But biblical Christianity teaches that we cannot become righteous by what we do, because no matter what we do, it isn't good enough, because we are not perfect and we will never be perfect. So biblical Christianity says that we become righteous by what Christ does for us, that Jesus lived a sinless life while on earth, and he kept his Father's law perfectly without ever sinning one time in thought, word, or deed, and Jesus literally earned his very own personal righteousness by doing that. And we become righteous only because at the very moment that we are washed in the blood of Jesus and forgiven, God imputes or credits the sinless, spotless righteousness of Jesus to us. And the vehicle by which we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ is not our works or our participation in the sacraments, but is faith alone. So we personally do not become righteous by what we do. We are declared to be righteous by a sovereign act of God, as God imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us by faith alone and not by works. So the righteousness that allows us entrance into heaven is not ours. It is Christ's. And because it is Christ and not ours, we cannot stain it when we fall short. That is what the Bible teaches. Now, the Roman Church does not agree with Scripture about this, and they teach that we are made righteous by what we do, and the righteousness that allows us entrance into heaven must be our own righteousness that we develop over our lifetime by doing good works and by keeping the sacraments. So the big kahuna issue that divides those who follow the teachings of the Roman Church and those who follow the teachings of Scripture about salvation is in how sinners are made righteous. They teach that we have to literally develop our own personal righteousness over our lifetime by keeping sacraments and doing other things, even into purgatory, while we teach that we are instantly and eternally declared to be righteous by the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us by faith alone. This issue was one of the main causes of the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago. And the rallying cry that summarized all that I just told you was the Latin phrase sola fide, which means by faith alone. And this issue was what was called the material cause of the Protestant Reformation. So Protestants believe that sinners are made righteous by faith alone, while Romans believe that we are made righteous by faith plus works of righteousness. Now, the problem with accepting Roman theology about salvation, aside from the fact that it's not taught in the Bible, is that most of the time we don't attain perfect righteousness before we die. So the Roman Church had to invent another way whereby almost righteous but not quite perfect people could still go on in what they call the process of salvation even after they die. So many years ago, the Roman Church devised a plan to help their followers handle the various sins that they commit during what they call the salvation process. And they divided sins into two categories. There are those sins that are so bad that Rome teaches that these sins actually destroy the salvation process. And those who commit such sins have to go back and start all over again. Those sins are called mortal sins, and that comes from the Latin word morti, which means to kill. Then there are those sins, while bad, are not so bad that they can kill the salvation process. They need to be repented of, to be sure, but Roman theology says that these sins will not kill the salvation process like mortal sins do, and these sins are called venial sins. Now, as I go over all of this with you, please don't think that I'm just bashing Roman Catholics just because I'm talking about this, because I'm not. The information that I am teaching here comes directly from their very own catechism that you can buy in any bookstore. I am simply trying to give you a background into why some people believe that salvation is permanent while others believe that salvation is temporary. So because all sins are not the same in Roman theology, they then saw the need to create a means by which the sins that were committed during the salvation process could be forgiven. And that is where confession and the rite of penance came in. In Roman theology, those who commit sins during the salvation process must go to confession, where the priest absolves them of guilt. He then directs them to do something noble or kind, or to pray certain prayers or a certain number of times, so that God will look bad if he does not forgive them. That's the goal. And this process is repeated all through their lives until they die. But we still have a problem, because even after all of this, the Roman Church acknowledges that most human beings are still not perfectly sinless. So, those who die short of being perfectly righteous must go to a place called purgatory. And it is in purgatory where they are purged of all remaining sins. Sometimes this happens rather quickly, but most people will spend upwards of hundreds of thousands of years in purgatory until they are pure and clean. Now, we have to know that the concept of purgatory, as taught today by the Roman Church, is not even mentioned a single time in all the Bible. There is one very obscure verse located in a book that is not even inspired that suggests something about purgatory a single time, but even that certainly does not validate what they teach about this entire system. But while it cannot be said that purgatory is biblical, it does serve a purpose. You see, purgatory is the logical end of any religion where salvation can be lost, and that depends on what we do rather than on what Christ did for us. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Many so-called evangelical Protestants who believe that they can lose their salvation do not accept the concept of purgatory. But I see that as a terrible mistake, because if you believe that you can lose your salvation, you have to have something like purgatory, or else your theology is only halfway done. Now, some would say here, well, wait a minute, Brother Blair, purgatory is not in the Bible. Well, that's true. Purgatory is not taught anywhere in Scripture. But neither is a salvation that can be lost and that is brought about by what we do for ourselves rather than what Christ does for us. That's not taught in the Bible either. And all I'm saying is that if your theology about salvation is not biblical anyway, you might as well complete it with something else that's not biblical. Because the truth of the matter is this. If you believe that committing certain sins causes you to lose your salvation, then you're a Roman Catholic, even if you don't call yourself one. The Bible has never taught that, but we need to know that Protestantism doesn't teach it either. Every false religion and man-made philosophy on earth teaches that salvation can be won or lost several times a day. And the only teaching that accepts the premise about salvation and yet dares to call itself Christian is Roman Catholicism. So if you have accepted the unbiblical notion that salvation is the result of what man does for himself, either outright or in cooperation with God, and therefore can be lost, then you're already off base anyway. And you might as well accept some form of purgatory to handle the sin issue so that at least you can be consistent. Other than that, your theology about salvation is not only unbiblical, but it's terribly contradictory as well. So I just think it's better to believe what the Bible teaches about salvation rather than what man teaches in the first place, and know that salvation is eternal. Because if any sin can cause you to lose your salvation, then we are left with deciding just which sins qualify for that. And the Roman Church has already done that for you, so why overwork? If you want a theology of salvation that is at least consistent, even if it's unbiblical, then just convert to Catholicism. But if you believe that Jude was telling the truth here, and that God is not only able to keep us from stumbling, but he's also able to make us stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, then the one single way is that salvation must be a sovereign work of God alone, utterly separated from anything that we do or do not do, and therefore salvation is eternal, and it is wonderful, and we can be assured and certain that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.